Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a positive difference in the world. We explore important aspects and areas of life, including spiritual, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and many more interesting topics. My name's Tom Tutal Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I'm also a regular contributor to their weekly newsletter. In March of 2012, I spoke at the Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra, the keynote speaker for that event. I'm also speaking at the upcoming Think and Grow Rich Summit in Del Mar, California, April 25th to 27th. The speakers at that stage are embarrassing to have me on at this stage, but I'm excited to come to that event. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5, 44 years now. And in that time, I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced and been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1". That's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. You can find out more about me at my website. It's Tom, the number 2, and Tall, T-A-L-L.com. My guest today is the amazing Danielle Trusty from New Hampshire. 3 years ago, Danielle was tipping the scales at 300 pounds. She was depressed, lonely, and miserable in all aspects of her life. She was in her 20s and doing nothing more than just existing, and she knew life wasn't supposed to be that way. After much soul searching, Danielle found that the solution lay within her all along, and she found the courage to change. Her goals were happiness and serenity, and little by little, day by day, she worked on identifying the root causes to her self-defeating toxic mindset as it set into motion activity which produced results. After 3 years of very hard work, Danielle has lost almost 160 pounds. However, she has shed more than just the weight. Brick by brick, she tore down the walls that she had built up in her own mind. And today, Danielle has a new positive outlook on life and knows her definite purpose is to help others. Welcome to the show, Danielle.
Thank you, Tom, for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your show today.
Well, you, your story identifies with so many people and in this world today, and so we'll go into that. But let me start by talking about a mutual, common, amazing friend of ours. You've done a lot of your work in the brain part of it with our great friend Mike Benton, the Bob Berg Go-Giver coach, haven't you?
Yes, I have, absolutely. You know, I contacted him, I want to say at this point, it was probably about 3 weeks ago, and our meeting was by chance and almost a fluke. I was trying to reach a Mike Benton in New Hampshire, and when I went on LinkedIn, I found Mike Benton in Maryland, not realizing that the two were different, and sent him a message, and he has been a wonderful coach, if you will, in guiding me towards helping me get my story out there and actually put me in contact with you.
Amazing, amazing. I am a big fan of Mike Benton, and his shows one of his shows has the most listens of all of my shows, and so I am a big Mike Benton fan. Now, Danielle, before you started this journey, you're at 300 pounds, and I know from my arthritis about depression, and I know that you had to have suffered that as well. And it's not something, you know, when we're 18, we don't dream of sharing our depression and our challenges to actually improve other people's lives and make a difference. But tell me how you were feeling at 300 pounds, maybe why you were depressed, and how that affected your food choices and other choices, mental and physical, that you made.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think obviously, you know, depression does go hand in hand with, you know, being 300 pounds or just being overweight in general. You don't get that way by chance. You get that way by the choices that you make in your life. And for me, how I dealt with life was with food. You know, some people have an addiction to, you know, coffee or sweets or chocolate or drugs or alcohol. Mine was definitely food. And I coped with, you know, losses of family members, you know, stresses of life with food. And, you know, through my entire teenage years, that's when I started putting on the weight. I unfortunately was in a car accident back in 2005. And after that car accident, it really kind of catalyzed, you know, my weight gain even more significantly than before. You know, I ended up, as a result, having to have a double spinal fusion surgery in my neck because I had a double herniation on my spinal cord. And when they did that surgery, it then made working out, being physically active, very uncomfortable. And I ballooned up to 300 pounds, you know, within about a 2.5 year time frame after that surgery. So, you know, I think that the food choices, you know, I was making choices that would make me feel good. So, you know, a lot of ice cream, chocolate, sweets, you know, whatever at that moment was going to stuff whatever emotion I was feeling at that time. Because for me, it was easier to eat than to actually identify, okay, what is this emotion I'm feeling? Why am I upset? You know, or am I upset? I just wasn't even aware of how the world around me was affecting me, and then how I was then taking that incoming and manifesting it into, you know, eating poorly and essentially then gaining weight.
Exactly. And you mentioned a nice, it's a great sign that you're now changed your thinking around. You admitted that you did this by choice. You took personal responsibility. For that, I think of Zig Ziglar. when he started writing his book, See You at the Top, he wrote that he was over 240 pounds by choice. He said by choice because he never accidentally ate anything. And so taking responsibility is an amazing a step in itself towards success. But how did you, there's so many people, Danielle, with big plans and goals that they'll talk about, but very few take action. If you look at statistics, successful people, it's like 5%, 10% take action on those goals. What caused you? Was there a rock bottom point? Was there an inspirational point? What caused you to say, okay, I am changing this, throw away the excuses, I'm going for results?
You know, that's a great question, and you brought up, you know, a great point, which is, you know, that self-reflection and identification of the need for change. You know, it started with me, you know, I stopped weighing myself at about 298 pounds, and I know that I exceeded 300 pounds. I just stopped weighing myself. And the self-reflection point came after, you know, one family get-together. You know, we go up to this place called Fort Foster up in Maine every year. And I remember coming home and looking at pictures of myself and just being like, who is this person? I didn't even want to see my pictures. I didn't want to, you know, have photos taken of me. And I remember just being so depressed in my house that night and being like, what is wrong? Like I at the time, I think I was 25, and I'm thinking to myself, I am so miserable at 25 years old. What am I going to be like at 50 or even 30 or 40? And if I continue on this path of 300 pounds, am I going to live to be 50? Am I going to be able to enjoy life? And, you know, I had friends that were, you know, going rock climbing and doing all these super exciting things. And here I was, I couldn't even walk up a flight of stairs at work without losing my breath. So for me, you know, identifying, yes, I'm miserable. This is my rock bottom. I'm more than 300 pounds, and I don't want to be this way, was the way that it started for me, that to kick off that process. from there, you know, you talk about how it's one thing to identify the need for change, and then it's another thing to try and actually put the footsteps forward to make that change. And, you know, I had tried, you know, Weight Watchers, I had tried Nutrisystem, I had tried going to the gym, and unfortunately with my spinal fusion and being 300 pounds, it made it, you know, very difficult for me to work out. So I started doing research and looking into gastric bypass, because for me, that was a tool that I could utilize to help get to my goal. And the way that I looked at the surgery, and I think that a lot of people have a negative connotation with gastric bypass. Gastric bypass is a tool for success. It is not the solution. You as a person are the solution in how you utilize the tool. So for me, it was identifying, is this viable? How is this going to help me long term? How is this going to change my life? And how is this going to work, you know, in all areas going forward? So I identified that, yes, gastric bypass was going to be the option for me, but I knew that if I was going to go through with a surgery as drastic as that, that I also needed to get my butt into counseling and identify, why am I 300 pounds? Why am I eating my way through life? So it was kind of a double-edged sword where it was like I was going to, you know, have this surgery, but in addition, identify the behaviors that I was doing in my life that got me to the 300 pounds in the first place, and then work the programs together to be able to get a full view spectrum of, okay, this is what I'm going to do to move forward and to get back that happiness, serenity, you know, and be where I wanted to be with my goals.
Wow, I love that so much. First of all, gastric bypass, I have no friends who have it, no friends who want to have it. But you said it's a tool, but you are the solution. You're the solution, because after that, now you've got to start living. And you did something so important. You went and examined your thoughts. Because I remember reading the book Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. And he would do beautiful cosmetic surgery on people that would turn them from the before picture to the after picture. And yet, they still saw themselves as ugly. They still had poor self-images. Their life didn't change. And so if you don't change those thoughts, you can go through the surgery, but after that, you're still going to eat, still going to be depressed, and none of those other things are going to change. And it's really hard for people to sit down and share their negative thoughts and explore those recesses of their brain. And so that was so important. And so now you got started. So now you get started. But I know a lot of people who get started on their goals. And in this ADD society, they try for 3 days. Something comes across their path, and all of a sudden, oh, I tried that. I can't do that. I give up. It's too hard. What made you, because this is not, you know, this whole transformation you've made, weight and mind, how do you keep at it? What's your purpose? Why? What is your big why for maintaining this attitude and this weight day after day, week after week, month after month, and for the rest of your life?
You know, I love that you said, you know, the way people try it for 3 days and then, you know, it's they feel as though that, oh, I tried it, it didn't work. It's not instantaneous. You know, it's not like our society as a whole, which is we can get everything instantaneously in the palm of our hands in terms of information, resources, with the touch of a button. And I think that as a society, we've lost sight of the fact that, you know, this country, as an example, wasn't built in a day. Rome wasn't built in a day. So this journey wasn't going to happen in a day, and I knew that. You know, I had the surgery in May of 2012, but I say the journey for me started, you know, about 3 years ago because, you know, I decided, you know, after the self-reflection and then after identifying, you know, what were the things that I wanted to change and then starting, I literally made a list of what were the things in my life that, you know, were difficult. Some of those things were, you know, the loss of my grandmother at a young age, and the loss of a best friend, and going back to school and college, I struggled in school, and you know, kind of set down what are the things that have happened in my life that I haven't really dealt with or I haven't really coped with. And I just wrote them down. And then one by one, I kind of attacked each of those, you know, depending on what it was. If it was, you know, dealing with the loss of my grandmother, then it was having conversations with my mother, or, you know, going to counseling and coping with that loss and learning techniques to be able to deal with that loss. But the real driving factor for me, you know, you have to dig deep down within yourself to find that spot where nothing is impossible. And I had to remind myself on a daily basis, on a minute-to-minute basis, that if you give up on yourself, then you'll never attain your goals. I definitely was very fortunate that I had people around me that supported my goal. Not everybody has that. And if you don't have that, then you have to be your own self-motivator. You have to find that spot, like I said, where nothing's impossible. And every day you just have to have the courage to know that the change that you're putting forth in your life, you're doing to make yourself better. So it was just never giving up on myself and never giving up on this goal of losing this weight, because it wasn't just the weight, like you had said at the beginning of the show, it was really changing the way that I thought about life and the way that I dealt with life. Because before, I was angry at the world, and I was angry at everybody else. I was up, everything was everybody else's fault. It was never my fault. And what I identified during this entire process was that it was my mindset that was the problem. It wasn't everybody else. Society, you can't change the people around you. You can only change yourself. And by changing yourself, you can inspire others to want to change that, you know, their life and maybe get on the same page. But in addition to that, it's identifying the people that are going to support you, identifying the people that are going to be toxic to your journey, and in sometimes making difficult decisions on letting go of some people that are in your life that aren't going to help you get to where you want to be, you know, in your goals.
Yes. Isn't that one of the most difficult things? Because myself, doing the work I do, encouraging others, it's been so difficult to come to realize that 90 to 95% of the world don't care. They're not going to take action. They have no written goals. They have no purpose. They go to work today because that's what they did yesterday. They do not care about making a positive impact in the world. It's so difficult. And so you need, as you said, you need to discard some of those people. And that is often difficult to do. And then another thing you mentioned that kind of sounds like myself as well. Napoleon Hill's number one success principle is definiteness of purpose. Now, you talked about this change making yourself better, but now you've rolled it into making others better. And the same for me with my definite purpose is to encourage others. I do that by helping them live positively through life challenges, because I've lived with pain 24/7 through my body for 44 years. But if 20 years ago you said, Tom, your purpose will be sharing your pain and your arthritis to encourage others, I would have been pissed, because I don't talk about this to my family, my friends. It's not a conversation. It's not something I focus on. But now, like yourself, you made the change yourself. You made the mental, physical changes and kept at it. But at some point, you realized, hey, my purpose is now to find other people like me and encourage them to do the best they can with their mind and their body. Did it hit you at some point what your definite purpose was? And was it like a wow, an amazing moment?
Yeah, you know, you bring up a great point, and you know, your story just touches me personally. You know, I myself have had, you know, a part of this was irritable bowel syndrome. You know, I had, you know, the double spinal fusion. I've had multiple surgeries. I had an appendectomy as recently as January. So I can relate to the pain. And, you know, the defining moment, you know, that aha, you know, at work, you know, the people that saw me every day saw me go through this weight loss. And it, you know, started, I had lost 60 pounds on my own prior to the surgery. And then, you know, since the surgery, have lost over 100 pounds. So,
wow.
You know, they would all come to me at work and say, wow, like, you know, you look so fantastic. You look so great. And I would say right around December was when I really started to notice it felt like a weight being lifted off my shoulders, as ironic as that sounds. But it started to click into place. You know, I had all the puzzle pieces on my table, and one by one, I put together that puzzle. And then finally, you know, after my appendectomy, believe it or not, in January, that was the final puzzle piece that clicked into place, because I realized that people wanted to hear my story. They wanted to know how I did it, because they themselves struggled with weight. And I think obesity is, you know, it is definitely an epidemic in this country. And it's not about the gastric bypass. It isn't about, you know, necessarily, you know, the journey in terms of verbatim, this is how I did it, you should do it this way.
Right.
It was more so, like you said, focusing on that mindset. And it clicked into place. I remember having a conversation with somebody actually at Starbucks. And I was ordering my coffee, and I saw this person every single day because I love my Starbucks. And, you know, he had seen me go through this as well, you know, over the past, you know, year or so. And we started having the conversation, and I remember, you know, kind of telling him this is what I did, and you know, focusing on changing my mindset. He was like, wow. He's like, your story is so inspiring. He's like, you've inspired me to, like, want to go to the gym and get healthy. It's something that I've been thinking about, but I just haven't gotten off my butt to do it. And after talking to him and realizing that I can tell my story and maybe help others that feel that they don't have the confidence, because I was there. I get it. I remember thinking, this is impossible. I remember thinking, I'm never going to be anything other than I am today. I am never going to be happy, or this obstacle is in front of me and I will never be able to climb over this wall. And I just refused. I dug my nails into that wall and climbed my way to the top and then hurdled my way over every single obstacle that was thrown in front of me because I refused to give up. And that defining purpose of helping others, I so just want to help people realize that they can change, but they have to have the courage to change, and they have to have that drive inside of them to take a look in the mirror and say, this isn't working for me today. This is, you know, I'm depressed, I'm lonely, whatever it is, and say, I can overcome it. I can change. So that was kind of where that defining moment was for me.
And isn't that exciting? And when you realize that the challenges you've gone through can encourage other people and change their life, to me, I find that even more exciting than having gone through my own journey and getting to share the stage in these amazing places. I'm always bemused and baffled. But it's so encouraging to have people say that because of you, I'm changing this, I'm doing this, and I'm not going to give up. And it also, for yourself, Danielle, you're never going to give up this journey now, because now you've got other people looking at you and you're encouraging them. And so it double reinforces it yourself, mm-hmm. because you're like, well, I can't give up. I can't, in my case, I can't start complaining and using excuses and being negative, because I got people who are looking up to me for encouragement and positivity. same thing. Isn't it an amazing feeling to know that, okay, yes, I had these challenges, but now I can really help change people's lives. And when you change a life, you could change their spouse's life, their kid's life, their grandchildren's life, their friend's life, their financial life. You could change a lot.
Definitely. And definitely, it's not even, you know, the story, my journey, you know, was the weight loss. But for other people, it may not necessarily be weight. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be, you know, just that negative mindset about life in general. And I'm a firm believer that negativity breeds negativity and positivity breeds positivity. And if I can just breathe positivity into somebody's life, you know, just for a second, and have them maybe see the world a little differently, have a different perspective, you know, give somebody a smile, hold the door open, you know, whatever it is. I try to be as positive as possible and to be as nice to everybody around me, because everybody is, you know, life is tough. And life throws a lot of lemons, as that old saying goes. And, you know, it's funny because, yeah, you can take those lemons and you can get the lemon juice in your eye and then you could just shut down, or you could take those lemons and, you know, make lemonade. And as cliche as that sounds, it's true. But, you know, for me, it was taking those lemons, and I will tell you, I got lots of lemon juice in my eye through the course of my life. And it burned, but I refused to stop. And I made that lemonade, and now I want to share it. I want to, you know, inspire others, because, you know, in my life, you know, though the 160 pounds, it wasn't just that. You know, I struggled in school. I had a really difficult time transitioning. I was in private school when I was younger, and my mom unfortunately got laid off from her job and couldn't afford to send me to public school or private school. So I transitioned into public school, and that transition did not go well for me. And I struggled all through school and didn't really know why. You know, I unfortunately didn't get the opportunity to go to college right out of school because my mom got laid off from her job right before I graduated high school. And, you know, I had to go to work to help, you know, pay the bills. I did what I had to do. And, you know, finally, after 28 years, I found a doctor. Dr. Schulich is located in New Hampshire, who did some learning disability testing on me. And one of the things that is so sad is that this country, most insurance providers don't cover learning disability testing. So parents have to pay for this out of pocket, which can cost anywhere from, you know, $3,000 to $4,000. You know, one of the things on my list was identifying why am I struggling so much. And, you know, thanks to Dr. Schulich and, you know, working with him, he identified that, you know, I do have dyslexia. I've overcompensated. I've been able to compensate for it, but I do have, you know, that under my belt. And it was good to know that, to find that out and get that, okay, this makes sense now. You know what I mean? So, like,
yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of people in this country that can't get, you know, with the healthcare system and stuff like that, that don't have these tools available to them, such as being able to have gastric bypass or, you know, being able to get disability testing or whatever the challenge is that you're faced with. But there are ways around it. You have to, you just got to keep finding or hunting or figure out what is it you have to do to get to that goal. And for me, I did whatever I had to do to find out, you know, that, yes, I do have dyslexia, and I'm going back to school, and I need extra help on things. So by getting this testing done and identifying that this was a problem, I now have resources available to me to be able to help me finish school. So, you know, it just was another thing that I had to overcome.
Amazing. And I hear, like, I know so many people have adversity in life, whether it's dyslexia, ADD, obesity, physical challenges. But so many people, this is where the 95% come in. They are content to learn to use their adversity and challenges as excuses for not doing anything. Well, I didn't do that because. And other people who are making a positive difference, they have the same challenges, but they're not using them as excuses. I can't because they're actually out there finding a way to get around their challenge and make a positive contribution and do something with their lives. And so that's a major thing with me, kind of a little bugaboo of mine, that people that make excuses, they seem more comfortable to make an excuse than they are to even try and get the effort. And so as you said, yes, it was nice for you to find out you had dyslexia, but you didn't use that from then on. Well, I can't do that or read that or do be involved in that. You found ways to work around it, and it hasn't impeded your success or your enjoyment of life. And that is a big lesson in itself that you've learned as well, that no excuses. I have this. It happened. But I'm going to make sure I fix it and change it and improve it and make sure it doesn't hold me back.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, for me, I did use, I always struggled, and it was, school was always so hard for me, and I just knew that there had to have been a reason why. Like, it shouldn't have been that difficult. And by identifying, which I thought that I did have dyslexia, and you know, through the testing found out, you know, that it was true, you know, I was then able to have resources available to me to help me to succeed. So it was an obstacle that was preventing me from moving forward and getting my bachelor's degree, and I identified this was what I thought the problem was, so I figured out, what do I need to do to get the help that I need? I had to get the testing. Once I got the testing, you know, they confirmed that, you know, yes, you have dyslexia, and I was able to work with my academic advisor through Southern New Hampshire University, who, again, my academic advisor refused to give up on me because I refused to give up on my own goal. So I was fortunate that I had somebody that would advocate for me to help me get through the classes that I struggled with. So, you know, you're absolutely right in the way that, you know, you say that people just are content with shutting down. It's like they would rather just sit there and be miserable than actually start that process. I think a lot of what contributes to that is that people don't know where to start. They don't know how to start. How do I even begin this? You know, they get overwhelmed and then shut down.
Exactly, and being overwhelmed is not a comfortable place to be. Now that you've gone through this and you realize your purpose, now you're using it, you're getting online, you're sharing your story. And so where's the best way people to find you? You have a blog now, and you have Twitter as well. Is it all under your own name, or what have you? Where can people find you?
So I actually just launched my website today. It's danielletrusty.com, which is danielletrusty.com. From there, there's a link to my blog, my Twitter, and my Facebook page. In addition to that, if people want to contact me, they can contact me at contact@danielletrusty.com, and that's all found on my webpage again, which is danielletrusty.com.
So danielle and trusty.com, and
yep.
As you said, from there they'll be able to find your Twitter, your Facebook page, and so I'm sure there's going to be people that I share this with and that you share this with that are struggling. They have weight problems, weight challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And so, listeners, you know, this is what Danielle's purpose is. This is why one of the things that keeps her going and encourages her and what she went through, contact her. It's not always easy to find someone positive in your circle of friends who's going to encourage you and give you these success tools. So reach out to Danielle. She knows what you've gone through. She knows how you're feeling, and she didn't use it as an excuse. She got results. And so let's encourage people to contact you. You know how they feel, and it's not easy for people to reach out and share their depression, their lack of results, their personal responsibility. But this is your purpose. You've gone through it for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if people do contact you, you really will work with their heart and their thoughts and their actions and their eating, right?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I'm trying to get established, you know, I will have a YouTube channel, you know, coming up pretty soon. But absolutely, and I understand that everybody's journey is not perfect. My journey has not been perfect. Nobody's perfect. And, you know, there are times where I made choices that didn't work, but I didn't allow that failure to stop my purpose. And if you ever, you know, have an issue or an obstacle or a question or, you know, anything like that, please feel free to reach out to me. You know, even if it's, or you have an idea that you would like me to speak about, you know, on one of my YouTube channels, which I'm going to get up pretty soon, or, you know, a blog, you know, idea, like you email me and say, what would a daily, you know, food log look like for you, or what exercise regimen do you do, or how did you start the process of this journey, you know, whatever it might be. I mean, I'm an open book as far as I'm concerned to, you know, anybody that's willing to listen, because really I just want to help others to be better versions of themselves, because when we change the way, you know, we look at the world, you're able to change the world. So it starts, you know, Mike Benton has a wonderful, he uses that tagline, which is that he wants to touch the lives of 10,000 starfish. And, you know, that proverb where there's a young man on a beach and he's picking up the starfish one at a time and throwing them back into the ocean. And an older guy comes by and says, hey, you know, you can't possibly save them all. Why are you even bothering? And then the young guy says, because to that one, that meant the world, and that one could change the world. So really, you know, I'm stealing his little tagline, because I really truly believe it. I believe that, you know, I want to help one person at a time, because that one person will then help one person. And then it just kind of pays it forward and goes on and so forth. So definitely please feel free to reach out to me, you know, on any of the avenues that I have. I have a blog, I have Twitter, I have Facebook, you know, which you can find the links to all of those on DanielleTrustee.com.
Wow. And on April the 8th, you are speaking at the Lehigh Clinic at their weight loss seminar. Woo-hoo.
Yes, I am actually. So the way that this works, and I had to go through the same seminar myself, you know, the Lehigh Clinic, they have two different types of weight loss. They have the surgical weight loss department, and then they have the medical weight loss department. So the medical focuses on, obviously, it's a non-surgical option, so diet, behavior modification. The surgical is obviously surgery with gastric bypass, the lap band. You know, there's, I think, three or four different options. So on April 8th, I believe it starts at 6:30, I am going to be speaking to, you know, the prospective people coming into the surgical weight loss program. It's basically kind of like a introduction to this is the possible surgery options. This is, you know, best case scenario. This is what can happen. And it's more of an informational seminar for people who, you know, are thinking of going through with their weight loss programs. And, you know, I'll be sharing, you know, my story and my success that I had through the Lehigh Clinic. And I have to say that their program was fantastic. The staff was fantastic. The hospital itself, the amount of level of care that I received there just really touched me. You know, what they have given me in terms of a tool is something that I couldn't thank them enough for. My surgeon was Dr. Brahms, and he is a wonderful human being that changes lives. What he does helps people, you know, be better versions of themselves. So if I can go and share my story and help people, you know, come to that program and utilize the tools that they provide there, then absolutely, you know, I will do that. So again, April 8th, I will be speaking at their informational seminar.
Well, Danielle, you have someone who's already filled with positive attitude, excited, and I'm smiling so wide I could eat a banana sideways. It's such an encouraging story, and it's so amazing to hear not only about the weight loss, that's a good thing, but the thought transformation that's going to bring about, keep the results going, and encourage others
right.
for the rest of your life. And so that is as exciting as the actual weight loss itself. Thank you so much for your time today, Danielle. It's been really interesting, this story. Your story will impact positively a lot of people. And after we're off the air, I'm going to ask you about hosting an occasional show because there's other people that, authors, speakers, and people that you could interview that would really positively impact a lot of people. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much, Tom. And again, I appreciate very much the opportunity to speak on your show. It's been a pleasure.
Have an amazing day.
You too.